We have the schus, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, to begin Masechta Makkos. The first halachas that are discussed in Masechta Makkos, even though the primary subject of Masechta Makkos is obviously about Makkos, about somebody who does an aveira for which he's chayiv Malkus lashes. But of course, all the Rishonim ask that we begin the Masechta not speaking about Malkus. We begin the Masechta speaking about Edom Zomimim, which we discussed a number of times in Masechta Sanhedrin as well, that Edom Zomimim is somebody who, if there were Edom that came and said testimony that somebody did something, testimony against an individual, and then other Edom come and say, well, how could you possibly say that type of testimony in Manu Hayistim? You were with me, you were with us elsewhere. The halacha says that the second pair, we'll discuss why in Mitzvah Shem, the second pair is believe, and the first pair become Edom Zomimim, and the punishment for Edom Zomimim is Vasisim Loi Kasha Zomim Lasis Lachiv. What they had intended, what would have been the repercussions of what they did, would have become the punishment that they the Edom Zomimim receive. And the question that will come up automatically is, why does our Masechta begin with teaching us the halachas of Edom Zomimim? Why doesn't it begin teaching the halacha of Malkus if that is the subject of our Masechta? And I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer the Rishonim suggests is that we're going to learn that one of the psukim that teach us the halacha of Malkus is the pasuk that says V'hoyah im ben hakoyis harasha. And that pasuk of V'hoyah ben hakoyis harasha is stated regarding Edom Zomimim. And therefore, that's why that halacha is mentioned here, the halacha of Malkus and Edom Zomimim, because that's where we learn Malkus from. Another explanation that's the Ritva's explanation. The other explanation is that since we learned, as we just said, at the end of Masechta Makkos, the halachas of Edom Zomimim. So our Mishnah, our Gemara, begins to discuss again the halachas of Edom Zomimim, which we had already learned. The question obviously is, when we speak about Edom Zomimim, the big chiddush, the big novelty in understanding the halacha of Edom Zomimim is that the first pair said whatever testimony they said, and the second pair walks in and says, Imanu Hayisim, that the halacha is that the second pair is believed verse over the first pair. And the question is, typically, throughout Shas, when we have two pairs of witnesses who are contradicting each other, the halacha calls that hachosha. They're contradicting each other, and that becomes a situation of treyu trey, and they are disqualified. They contradict each other. Here, we find that the second pair is believed that when they say on the first pair, Imanu Hayisim, that they're believed. And why is that the case? So the answer is, when the two pairs of Edom, says the Torah, contradict each other, so they cancel each other out. But in our Gemara, they're not contradicting each other. What they're saying is that we're saying testimony about you. You're saying whatever you're saying, and we're saying you can't possibly be saying that because you were with us elsewhere. So there's nobody that's saying testimony contrary to that, because the first pair, the goal of their testimony was not to speak about themselves. The goal of their testimony was to speak about whatever happened, and therefore, the second pair are believed. But it is still, as we're going to learn many times in our Masechta, a chiddush. So says the Mishnah Ketzed, how do Edom Zomimim become Edom Zomimim, or more so, what is the punishment for the Edom Zomimim? Says the Ramidim Anubis Pliny. The Mishnah introduces a dilemma where two Edom come in and say on a certain individual, Shu ben Gerusha ben Chalutza. The halacha is that a Kohen may not marry a Gerusha Chalutza, a woman that had a divorce, or a woman had chalitza. And the halacha is that woman if a kohen marries her when she's that status, that woman becomes a chalala, that she should never be able to marry a kohen. And more so, the son born from a marriage is a chalal, and he's possible from doing the aveira of doing the avoida of kahuna. And the question is, if Adam walk in and say regarding a kohen that he married a woman that he wasn't supposed to marry, and therefore the son is a chalal, and now they become Adam's Zomim. Other Adam say, how could you possibly have said such testimony? Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere. So says the Mishnah, that we don't say that this person, since we're learning the punishment of Adam Zomim, Vasisim like Hashazom Lassus Lachav, what they tried to make happen to the person they said testimony against should happen to them. We don't say that they become Adam, they don't become Adam's Zoy, they don't become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtov, Ela Loika Aboim, they get Malkus Aboim. There's a very big discussion in the Rishonim, who is this aid that we're speaking about? Are we speaking about that the Adam who are saying this testimony are Kohanim? So since they're Kohanim, there could indeed be a situation that their testimony should have an effect on their children. And still the Mishnah is teaching us that that won't be the case. But if they were Yisraelim, there would not be any question. Because if the aid who's saying this is a Yisrael, his children are disqualified from Kahuna anyway. His children are Yisraelim. They can't do the Avodah. And therefore the Mishnah is speaking about, even though the aid who became Eid Zomim as a Kohen, so therefore declaring that his child should be a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, should be a Cholol, does make a difference? Or is it is it only talking about Yisraelim, or even Kohanim? And most Rishonim, as I said, are of the opinion, the Mishnah speaking about all types of Eidim, even if the Eid is a Kohen, and certainly if the Eid is Yisrael. And the Gevurah Sari brings a raya that that's the way to learn the Mishnah. Because as we know, Adam Zomimin are always a pair. If you don't have two Adams saying testimony, they can't become a Ben Gerusha, a Ben Chalutza. And yet, our Mishnah, when it speaks the halacha that we just learned, we say, Ein Oim Shiyasazeh. Why does the Mishnah focus on one of them and not on both of them? So explains the Gevurah Sari, because presumably the Mishnah is saying, two Adam walked in and said that this Kohen married a Grusha or a Chalutza, and the Mishnah is teaching us why he's speaking about one, because maybe one of them is a Kohen and the other one is not. Yet it doesn't change, the children don't become a Ben Grusha, a Ben Chalutza. Many Rishonim, the Ramban and other Rishonim, are focused on the Ben Chalutza case, because the fact that a Ben Grusha, that a Grusha is not allowed to marry a Kohen, and therefore the child born from such a marriage is a Cholol, is a Din D'oraisa. But the halacha that a Kohen may not marry a Chalutz is only Midrabanan. So this Eidus that was said really doesn't disqualify the son of that marriage if the Kohen indeed married a Chalutza. It doesn't really disqualify him Midrabanan. So how can we give Malkus, which is a punishment that's given when somebody violates a Issa D'Raisa, when it's only a D'Rabbanan? So because of that, some Rishonim explain that everything that's being explained in our Mishnah, that when we speak about Ben Chalutz in our Mishnah, we're speaking indeed only with D'Rabbanan. But the Ramban says a Chiddush. The Ramban says a Chiddush that even though the disqualification that they're talking about is a D'Rabbanan issue, but once they did something which represents an act of Zoymim, that they said testimony, and other Edom were able to say Imanu Hayisem, that makes them Edom Zoymim Midaraisa. So now the question is, many Rishonim ask, that we had the rule, we actually learned it many times in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Edish Atiyachal Ezima Ein Edis. Any Edis that we can't perform Hazama is not considered an Eidus that we're going to accept. So if over here, the children of these Eidim cannot become chalolim, as they wanted to accomplish with their testimony, why is this not considered an edus she'iyata yocha lazima? And the answer is what the Mishnah is teaching us. The Mishnah is teaching us, there's two ways of explaining this, that the whole din of hazama in the case of Ben Gerusha and Ben Chalutza is different than in all other circumstances. In all other circumstances, indeed, the halacha is vasisim like hashazama lasis lachav. And if you can't do vasisim like hashazama lasis lachav, it's not considered a valid edus. Here, there isn't such a requirement. Or another way of learning is that normally, how do we accomplish vasisim loy kashazom alasas lachav? The way it's accomplished is by giving these eidim the punishment that they wanted to cause that this person should receive. What the Torah teaches us here is that vasisim loy kashazom alasas lachav is not necessarily need to be, is not accomplished by giving them that punishment, but rather the way it's accomplished is by them getting malchus. That is the kasha zomam in this case. So therefore, it is considered a situation of eidus shatu yochel azima. Tosfos asks, why does the Mishnah speak about a case where they said testimony that this kohen married a gerusha or chalutza? Why don't we say the case as a mamzer and saying that this individual is a mamzer because they know that this person's parents had a relationship that caused that he should be a mamzer, and then they became a ben gerusha, and then this determined a manu hayisim elsewhere. And the advantage of speaking about a case of a mamzer is that a mamzer is universal. Ben gerusha ben chalutza only applies to kahanim. So Tosfos answers, since, as we said at the beginning of our shir, the reason our Masechta begins with the halachas of Eidim Zomim, because it's a continuation of what we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, and the case of Masechta Sanhedrin that we spoke about, Eidim Zomim, was the one that we said about a Bas Koyin that had a relationship, and the special halachas there. That's why the Mishnah chose to speak about something which speaks about Kahuna. Says another reason, Tosfos says, When you said falsely that this person is a mamzer, a terrible designation, but it doesn't carry with it a financial element. Whereas when you say that this person is the son of a ben gerusha ben chalutza, so then that person is not allowed to eat truma. That comes with a financial loss. And the Mishnah is saying that since there's a financial loss here, we maybe should say that the Eidim Zomim should have to reimburse this person who's truly a Kayin, but they're saying that he's a Cholol for the Truma that he's losing. That Mishnah says that money we don't have to reimburse. Why indeed don't we have to? So there's many answers. First of all, it's not something that's a definite loss. It's only a loss if somebody would have wanted to give this Kayin Truma, and now he isn't able to, and now he's not able to receive truma. But there's no guarantee that he would have ever been somebody who would have received truma. And since there's no guarantee that he would have ever received truma, it's not considered that you deprived him of that money because that it's not something that he was not supposed to get. Another way I sort of showed him explain, which is fairly similar, is that here it's a situation where it's not a dava kotzev. Whenever we speak about a financial loss, we always speak about a loss that is very specific, that we can know how much of a financial loss is being taken here. A kohen, even if he was going to get truma, there's no way for the kohen to be able to know how much truma was he deprived of. And therefore, that's not the case where we have to reimburse him. Continues the Mishnah. If they said, Me'idan anu b'ish ploini shuchayiv l'golis, that a person did, and he killed somebody b'shoyig, and therefore he's chayiv golis, and now it turns out, again, that they were Edom Zomimim, and we therefore don't accept their testimony, says the Mishnah, again, if we would say, Vasisim lo kashazom l'asis lochiv, they would have to go to golis. Teaches us the Mishnah, En Oimim Yiglazeh, we don't say that this person should go into Galus in his place, Eloika boy. So Taisus asks a question, how could somebody ever make somebody have to go into Galus? Why isn't it possible that the person who says, who killed somebody will say, well, I did it b'mezid. And since I did it b'mezid, there's no chiv Galus. And he asks that we find such a Gemara that people came in and said testimony that this person ate something not kosher, and then it turns out not to be true. They wouldn't, the Edom Zomim wouldn't be chayav to bring a carbon, because the person who ate something which is not kosher could always say, I ate it b'mezid, and there's no chiv carbon under those circumstances. So the Rishonim respond to this question. When somebody eats something b'mezid, when somebody eats something not kosher b'mezid, he gets malchus. If he ate it b'shogeg, he brings a carbon. If he ate it b'mezid, and he really, if he ate it b'mezid, and we say he ate it b'shogeg, and then he says, no, I ate it b'mezid, why do we believe him? Why is there no concern of ein odom meis matzmei rasha? The answer that, and he's saying that he's a rasha, that he ate this non-kosher food b'mezid. The answer is he's doing it because he doesn't want to bring a carbon that he's not allowed to bring. You're not allowed to bring a carbon chattis unless you're obligated to bring a carbon chattis. But when it comes to go, that's why we believe him when he says mezid ayisi. Here, he can't say, there's nothing to gain by saying mezid ayisi and saying, I'm saying mezid because I don't want to go to Golis. You could go to Golis even if you were a mezid. Taisus answers the question that it's a situation that it's obvious that it was a situation of shagig. We see how the act of murder took place, and since there was an act of murder, the way it took place, all the circumstances of that story were circumstances that showed that it was a shagig. Another teretz that Taisus suggests is that maybe indeed, if this person would have said mezid ha'yisi, they wouldn't go to Golus. But they didn't say that. He didn't say anything, and since he didn't say anything, so then the halach is shtika kaida. Remaining silent is like admitting. The only issue here is that they became Edom Zomimim. So Ela Loika Aboim. And of course it's important to say this at the beginning of our Masechta. Many times when the Mishnah is going to speak about getting Malchus, the Mishnah uses the words Loika Aboim. But we know that the amount of Malchus that's actually usually given is not 40, it's 39. Says the Gemara, let's understand, our Mishnah is giving us examples where the Torah says, Vasisim loikash zomim lasis lachiv, that the punishment of Edom Zomimim is what they wanted to cause, will not happen. And in our Mishnah, it's just the opposite. We don't do Vasisim Loi, we just give Malchus. So ask the Gemara, Haketzed, the proper wording of the Mishnah should have been, Haketzed, Ein Ha'edim Nasim Zomim Ba'ilei. Void, ask the Gemara another question. Midik Tani L'Kamon, we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Hei Amar Aleph, Amalahem, when Edom say testimony, and then other Edom come in and say, Aval Amalahem Heich Atam Edom, how could you be possibly saying testimony? The day that you're saying you saw whatever happened. Why? So that's the case. The Mishnah over there very much clearly teaches us what is the halacha of Edom Zomimim. Why was it necessary to say both our Mishnah and that Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Hasmukai, as we've been saying throughout our shir, is actually reflecting back to the Mishnah that we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Pei Tes Amar Aleph, that the Mishnah over there is teaching us that there's a new rule by, in certain cases, of Edom Zomimim. The Mishnah teaches us, Kol HaZomimim Magdim Loisa Misa. All Zomimim, we give them the Misa that the person that they wanted to kill should have gotten. What does the word magdimim mean? Magdimim means we do it early. So the simple pshat is, as we've learned many times in Masechta Sanhedrin, there's a concept in halacha of inui hadin. Inui hadin means that we don't want to put the person who was sentenced to whatever punishment in pain. And therefore, we immediately give the punishment. And that's what here the Mishnah is saying, that we right away give him the punishment in the morning. We don't make him dwell waiting for being punished. But there's another pshat, and that is, what happens if they were trying to get whoever they said testimony about killed with one of the mises that we discussed in Masech the Sanhedrin, and then instead of that misa, they can't give that misa, but a different misa could be given to the Edom Zomim. The halacha is that they get the misa, we give them whatever misa we can, and we don't dafka wait, we don't specifically wait until we can give them the misa that they wanted to give. Chutz mezomim beskoyna ba'ala, she'em magdim lo'isa misa, ela misa acheres. And there's words of introduction that are required here. The Torah Kedosha says, Ubas ish koin kisecha liznois, if the daughter of a koin does an act of adultery, asovie mechalelos b'esh tisarev, she's chayiv sreifa, she gets a special punishment of sreifa. And as we learned in Masechta the Sanhedrin, there's a machlokes Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon, how to understand this pasuk, which is very much connected to the machlokes of Rav Shimon Rabbanon, which is a more severe misa. The misa of chenek, the misa of skil, or the misa of sreifa. The opinion of the Rabbanon is that the misa of skila is more severe. And therefore, says the Gemara Masechta the Sanhedrin, according to Rabbanon, a woman who is a rusa, that has a nara marasa, that has an adulterous relationship, the Torah says gets skila. So when the Torah singles out a bas koyin, it can't be speaking about a bas koyin who's a nara marasa. Because according to Rabbanon, sreifa is a less severe punishment than skila. And it doesn't make any sense that what the Torah would want to do is give this person, this bas koyin, a less severe punishment. And therefore, according to the Rabbanon, the Torah here is speaking about a woman who is a nesua, where normally a woman who's nesua who does such an aveira, chayiv chenek, and by a bas koyin, she will be chayiv sreifa, and that's something that Rav Shimon would agree with as well. But Rav Shimon, given that he holds that sreifa is a more severe punishment than skila, will also hold that a bas koyin nesua, that even though normally a nesua that's mezana, her punishment is skila, this bas koyin that's mezana, because of her special status, will be chay, because of her special status, will be chayiv sreifa. So now, the question is, what happens if Adam said testimony about a bas koyin who is mezana, and they become Adam zomim? The loch of a sisim loika, shizom melasis lochav, says that in such a case, she should be chayiv sreifa. They should be chayiv sreifa because that's what they wanted, of course, she should get. But there's a new halacha. Ein magdim loisa misa. We don't give them sreifa, ela misa cheres, that they get chenik, as if, which is the misa that the man would get. Because the halacha is, that another halacha, normally when a man and woman have an adulterous relationship, they both get the same punishment. Here it's not that way. Here, the man who was mezana with the bas koyin will get chenek, and the woman will get sreifa. So, and that's the Mishnah that we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin. And we even learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, what will be the case if it's a case where the man won't get any punishment? The example that we always gave was, it was a boy who's 9 years old. So his bia is considered a halachic bia, but he's only 9 years old. So he won't get an oinish. So you can't say, well, we're giving the Edom Zomim the punishment that the man would have gotten. The man wouldn't have gotten any punishment. We give her the punishment. So the only punishment that's available is the punishment that the woman would have gotten. We don't give that, which is sreifa. We don't give them sreifa. We give them skila. We give them chenek. That's what we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin. Comes our Mishnah to add, Yesh Edom Zomim Macherim. And so that's an example where we don't give them the punishment that they were crying to create. And now teaches us the Mishnah, our Mishnah, the Yesh Edom Zomim Macherim, there are different cases of Edom Zomim, Shein Oysimem Den Hazama Kol Iker. We don't do the act of Hazama altogether. Ella Malkus Aboim. That instead of getting the punishment that they wanted to create should happen, they only get Malkus. And what's the example? Ketzer, as we learned in our Mishnah, Midin Anu Beish Plani, Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Ein Oimrim, we don't say that the age should now become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, even as we explained in our Mishnah, if it's a case of a Kayin, but rather Eloikus Alboim. So ask the Gemara, why indeed not? Menani Mili, if the Halacha teaches us that the sisim loy kasha zom lasis lochiv, and the edim zomim are supposed to get the punishment that they wanted to create. So indeed, let and in, the ed is a kayin. So why don't we just declare him to be in the category of a ben gerusha ben chalutza? Why not? Answers the Gemara Menani Mili, to which the Gemara answers Amri Yeshua ben Levi, Dama Kro, when the pasuk says vasisim loy kasha zomim, the Torah is teaching us loy. We give him the punishment, but we don't give a punishment that will affect his children. And if we're going to declare this person as in the category Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, that is a disqualification that goes down to future generations. Ask the Gemara, V'lifsul of the day, V'loy lifsul lazari. Indeed, maybe the halacha should be that this aid who said this testimony should be declared in the category of a Ben Gerusha, of a Ben Chalutza, and it should not affect the future generation. It says the Gemara, because being a Kasha Zaman Lassus Veleka, we have to be able to give a punishment that is equal to what we wanted to do. The person who said the aid, his children don't deserve to be punished. But if it's not going to affect his children, it's not going to be a situation of kasha zomim lasas lochiv, and therefore, such a situation, it's considered a situation where we can't do kasha zomim, and because we can't do kasha zomim, the halacha is we give malchus and not kasha zomim. So there's a fundamental question that needs to be understood based on this discussion. And that is that we're learning now, we always have to do v'asisim loy kasha zomim lasas l'achiv. We have to be able to give the exact same punishment. So the question is, how can we ever have kasha zomim lasas l'achiv when we deal with a case of edim zomim on ayin nidachas? Ayin nidachas, they want to say, the edim zomim want to say, Edis on the people, and when it's saying on the people, it not only are the people in that city burnt, but even their children. And the question is, why? It's loy v'loy lazaroy. And the answer is, the stipler says, it's different there than in other cases. When we speak about the kasha zomam, when we speak about the punishment of enedachas, it's not that the children are punished because of the fathers. They themselves are punished because they're in the city. And therefore, it's not considered a continuation of the punishment. It's rather one big punishment. But Pada Amar, another explanation that Pada wants to offer, why we don't say by somebody who says testimony, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but Pada Amar, Ma Hamchalal Einem Eschalal. If somebody, if a Kohen married a woman who he wasn't supposed to marry, it doesn't affect him. So in the case of Edom Zomim, that they want to say that this person married a person he shouldn't have, which is not even true, ain't it then? So how can we say that he should become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Says the Gemara, if we ask the Gemara, if we're going to take such an approach, Maskla Ravina came betalta betayrus Edom Zomim. If we're going to accept such a logic, then there won't be ever any Eidzomim anymore. Kumas cycle and a niskel. If Adam said testimony about an individual who that they said did an Aveira, which carries with it skila. And the Beis Din actually gave skila based on their testimony. And then they turn out to be Edom Zomimim. Once the punishment was already given, that isn't the case of Edom Zomimim. Because the Torah of our system like Kasha Zomam Lasses, we give the Edom Zomimim the punishment according to what they wanted to do, the like Kasha Rosa, not what actually happened. So ask the Gemara, according to your line of reasoning, Habaliskol, they wanted to cause that the person that they said testimony about should get skila, but at the end he doesn't get skila. So why should they get skila if they didn't accomplish anything? So that line of reasoning, says the Gemara, is obviously incorrect. And since that line of reasoning is incorrect, machrata, we have to go back to the original answer, Kedashinina Mekara, that we only punish them and not their children. And therefore, since that is impossible here, we give Malkus instead. So we learned in the Mishnah, Midim Anubish Plenty, if they say testimony about some Shuchayiv Golis, we don't, and then they turn out to be Edom Zomim, they're not sent into Golis. Ask them, not immediately, from where do we know this halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amrish Lakish Damakra, who Yonas Alach Saharan? Who? Only the person who killed B'shagig goes to Ari Miklet, V'loi Zomim, not the Edom Zomim. Rabbi Yochanan says a different way to how we get to that conclusion. We make a kavachomer. Umahu shasa meisid. If somebody who killed somebody be meisid, ain't a goyla, daloch is there's no golas, because only somebody who kills b'shoigig goes to golas. Hain, so the edim that loyasa meisid, all they did was just talk, but even though they did this be meisid, ain't a din shlo yiglu. The Gemara is suggesting that if somebody kills be meisid, he doesn't go to Golis, so then certainly somebody who said false testimony, the Edom Zomimim, should not go to Golis. It's a much smaller Avera. It says the Gemara, that isn't a good logic, because we could say just the opposite. He in the Senes, who shasa maisa, if somebody did an act of killing B'mezid, a very serious Avera, B'mezloi ligli. The reason he doesn't go to Golis if he did it B'mezid is k'hecha d'loi t'ave like a para. Golis is an opportunity. Golis is an opportunity that the person has a kapara through the Golis. A person who killed B'mezid doesn't deserve that opportunity. However, hein, the Edom Zomimim, even though they did a terrible sin B'mezid, but they didn't actually do anything. Loyasa mezid. They didn't do anything, they just spoke. And therefore, B'mezid nami liglu, they should go to Golis, k'echa de level of kapara, that will be the way that it'll be a kapara. And as the Ritva explains, the fact that they would be sent to Golis would be a tremendous opportunity for them, because by them being sent to Golis, they'll have a kapara. So maybe indeed, Edom Zomim, who said about somebody that he killed B'shoigig, should be sent to Golis. El Machverta, we have to go back to Rish Lakish, based on the limra of who v'la Edom Zomimim. Ula, so says the Gemara, Ula teaches us, remez l'Edom Zomimim at Torah Menayin. Where is there a remez in the Torah to Edom Zomimim? Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Remez l'Edom Zomimim? You're looking for remez for Edom Zomimim in the Torah? Baksiv, the pasuk says explicitly, "V'sisim loy kasha zom lasis lachiv." Ella says the Gemara. The question is, "Le'edim zom shloikem in haTorah." We've learned in our shiur today a new din that under certain circumstances, Edom Zomim don't get the punishment that they wanted to create, but rather get malchus. From where do we know that halacha? So says the Gemara, "Menayin," because the Torah says, "V'tziku as a tzaddik, v'rishu as a rasha, v'hayim ben hakas a rasha." So when we learn the pasuk, it's a little hard to understand. Meshum v'tzdiku as a tzaddik, because they said that the innocent person is innocent. V'chay v'shu as a rasha, and the person who's guilty is guilty. V'hayim ben hako as a rasha. Why we give the dayan malchus? Why should he get malchus? He did the right thing. Elo, Edom shashu as a tzaddik. What the pasuk means to say is if Edom said somebody who's innocent is guilty. V'asa Edom Achrinu, and now other Edom came Fitzdikus a tzaddik, the mikar, the person who's really innocent, they establish that he is innocent, and by doing so, the shavinu lahani rishoyim, they make that the edim who said their false testimony into rishoyim, which they truly are, says the Torah, what will be the punishment for those edim who are the rishoyim? For hayim ben hakus rasha, they will get malchus. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to come to the conclusion that under certain circumstances, the Edom Zomim get Malchus because of this Pasuk? Typically, why don't we get to that conclusion based on the Pasuk of Loisana Berecha, Eid Shaker? Answers the Gemara, because it's a Lashem B'Maisa. Talking is not considered a Maisa, and there's a rule that we have that called Lashem B'Maisa, if it's a Lav that doesn't come with no act, ain't like in love, we don't get Malchus. And therefore, there's no Malchus under normal circumstances. That's why we have a new Pasuk of Hoya ben Hakus Rasha, that in this case, that even though it's not considered an act of, it's considered Lav Shemi Maisa, there still will be Malchus by Edom Zomim based on the Pasuk of Hoya ben Hakus Rasha. Tanabonan Arba Devarim Nemer by Edom Zomim. There were four halachas that were taught by Edom Zomim. Ein Nasim ben Grusha ben Chalutza. As we learned in our Mishnah, if they said testimony that a person is a ben Grusha ben Chalutza, the punishment is not that they become a ben Grusha ben Chalutza. Ein Goyim Lari Miklet. The Edom Zomim, as we just finished learning, if they said testimony falsely that somebody killed somebody b'shogeg, they won't go as a punishment to Ari Miklet. Ein Mishalm as a Koifer. The Torah says that if somebody has a shar hamuad that killed somebody else, the Torah says you have to pay koifer. We're going to speak in a moment, what does that mean? The Edom Zomim don't pay the koifer. If they said testimony that somebody stole from someone else, where the halacha is that if the ganef doesn't have the ability, the thief does not have the ability to pay what he owes for stealing, returning what he stole, he sold to be an Eved Ivri. If the Eidim Zomim said false testimony, it won't happen to them. B'Shem Rekiva Amru, Af Eim Shalmam Apei Atzmam. If Eidim Zomim admit before they were declared as Eidim Zomim and Bezdin gave them a punishment or they sentenced them, the Eidim Zomim admit on their own that they said something that was not true, they won't have to pay the punishment. The reason is because that's considered, says Rabbi Kiva, Moida B'Knas, and therefore, since it's not Moida B'Knas, the halacha is, Eim Shalom P'yatzmai, doesn't pay based on his admission. And the Gemara explains this b'raisa. First halacha, Ein Nasim Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzu K'damorin, as the Mishnah and the Gemara have already explained. Ein Goyal Ar Miklet, also K'damorin, as we learned in our Shia today. Ve'im Shalom Asakoyfer, why don't Edom Zomim have to pay the koifer that they wanted to make the owner of the animal pay? Answers the Gemara Kasavri, the brises of the opinion, the kufra kapara, the purpose of paying koifer is a kapara, to give the person a kapara, and only the people, the only somebody whose animal, who's a muad, killed somebody else, is chayiv koifer. Vahani, but these Edom aren't individuals whose animal killed somebody else, and since they're not people that need a kapara, that's why labne kapara nenu, they would have to pay kapara, pay the kapara. Says so. We try to make a point. Al Gemara said there's a special limud to teach us that the Edom don't go to Ari Miklet. If we didn't have that special limud, the Edom would have to go to Ari Miklet. But isn't going to Ari Miklet a kapara? And we're saying now that kapara is not something that the Edom are obligated to have. So the Rishonim respond, there are different types of kapara. A kapara of bringing going to Golis is a punishment. It's not the punishment brings the kapara. And it's not just a punishment, it's a protection. Because the halacha is, if somebody is supposed to be in the Ari Miklat, and he goes out of the Ari Miklat, so then he's chai, he could be killed by the Goyil Hadam. So we say that maybe that punishment should go to them. Here, it's pure kapara. So there's a difference between golus and paying kapara. So ask the Gemara, man tana kufra kapara, who is the opinion that holds that paying kofra is a kapara? Says the Gemara, Amar Chizda, Rabbi Shema ben Yosha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekiah, the Tanya, the Torah says regarding this case where somebody sharmud killed somebody else, the Torah says, v'nosim pidyon nafshoi. So the question is, what is that? So he says the main is that we evaluate, assess the value of the person who was killed. What would he be worth if he was sold as an Eved Kanani? And that's what has to be paid. Rav Shema ben Yosha ben Yochanan ben Brekiah Omer, the main mazik, the value of the owner of the animal. My love, suggest the Gemara, what is the machloikus based on? Baplegi, masav a kufra mamoina, it's a financial payment. And the Torah says we give the value of it's paying back for what was happened, and therefore we look at what the nizik is worth. Masav for kufra kapora, and therefore we look at the value of the mazik. Says the Gemara, no. Omar papaloi, the kulama, everybody could agree the kufra kapora. And the machloikis is just a technical machloikis. V'hachamufki, ma'asav, the Tanakhama holds, the way that kapara is assessed is benizik shaminin, based on the value of the nizik. Or ma'asav, and Rav Shmuel holds, that the Torah says, how do we assess the kapara? But the mazik shaminin. So ask the Gemara, my tamay drabonin, why if it's a kapara, so the person who owns the animal who killed somebody, the person who owns the animal that's a mood that killed somebody, he needs a kapara. How is the kapara achieved? By him giving his value. But how can we suggest that by giving the value of the person who was killed, the owner, who the mazik, should be considered having kapara that way? Answers the Gemara, it's based on gzeira shava. The Torah speaks about somebody who wounded a woman who was pregnant and caused her to miscarry her child. The Torah, when it speaks about that pasuk, says onish onish kashi yoshes olav bali isha. The nemashasa lamata. The Torah, when it speaks about the kapara that we're speaking about here, about the kapara when somebody's muad kills somebody, uses the word also yoshes olav im kofa yoshes olav. So when we speak about the case of the pregnant woman, the assessment that's done, malahalim b'denizik, the value of those babies, afkan b'denizik. Rishmol, so how does the Rishmol respond? Isn't there a clear gzeir shava indicating that we look at the value of the victim? Says the Gemara, but says Rishmol, the pasuk says, v'nosim pidyon nafshik siv. Pidyon nafshoy says the value of the person whose animal did the damage, who did the killing. Rabbanan, what a Rabbanan say with that pasuk, says in absolutely pidyon nafshik siv. The Torah uses the word pidyon nafshoy, but that's what is the purpose of the kofer. But even though the purpose of the kofer is to achieve a pidyon nefesh for the owner of the animal, ki shaminin, how is that accomplished? But the nizik shaminin, by looking at the value of the victim. Then we learned further in the Braisa, einam karm be'eved ivri, that the Edom Zomim don't become, are not sold for Eved Ivri, says the Gemara, Savra of Hunel Meimer, Han Mil Hechad Isla L'Day, that if the person who they're accusing of stealing had his own money, to me, therefore, if he was indeed guilty, he would have to pay whatever he stole. To me, the Eulim is Dabin, and since in this case, he wouldn't be sold because he could afford to pay back, Eunami, the Edom Zomim, if they are saying testimony about such a case, lay mizdabnim. But suggests Rav Hamnuna, avahechadis lay the day, if the person who they're saying testimony about indeed doesn't have the financial means of paying back, and therefore if he indeed was guilty, he would have to be sold. So they too, avgav the islu the who, even if they have the financial ability, since what they wanted to do was that the person they said testimony about should be sold, they too will be mizdamni, they will be sold.
Says the Gemara, how can we understand such a logic? Why can they not say v'leimrulei? It's not that you're obligated to be sold. The obligation is that you have to pay back what you stole. So if you have the money, you pay. And if you don't, you get sold, and that's how you'll be paid back. So therefore, we have the ability, and not namilam is the meaning, we shouldn't be sold. We should have the ability to just pay back the amount that you would have to pay. And as a sort of Gershon Edelstein explains, that the purpose here is v'sis lekash zomam. We punish them with what they wanted to do. And what they wanted to do is make this person have to pay back the value of what they say was stole. And that's what they're doing. El Savra Munahani Milehechad Islay Oiludatei Oiludatu. They're not sold as avodim, whether if it's a case that the person they said stole has money, so therefore he wouldn't have been sold, so they shouldn't be sold. Or if they have money, even though he doesn't have money, all they have to do is make sure that what they said the person would have to pay is going to be paid. But in the case, they have a hecha, the less loyal that they've loyal the two, if the person that they said stole and they too don't have any money, then they were sold as Eved Ivri. Amalei Rava, it says, Rava, how could you say this? The Torah says that when is a person sold? In a case where he stole. If he stole and he can't pay back, then the Torah says he's sold as Eved Ivri. But if he's an Eid Zomim, the Torah excludes Eid Zomim from being sold under any circumstance. And that's the way Rava says, is are we to understand what the Braisa says, that Edom Zomim are not sold as an Eved Ivri. We learned further in the Braisa with Shimon Rekiva Omrim, that Ein Edom Zomim Shama Pi Atzmai, my time of the Rebbe Kiva, what's Rebbe Kiva, says the Gemara Kosover. Rebbe Kiva's opinion, as we said earlier, is that Edom Zomim and the punishment is a Knas, and over Knas Ein Shama Pi Atzmai. The Halacha is that Moide B'Knas never pays the fine if he admits to it. The Sefer Ein Yitzchak explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam Rishon, Hamina Eitz HaShetzvi Sicha L'Velti Echa B'Meno Achalta. The question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give Adam Rishon this entire introduction? The answer is, we know that Adam Rishon did not admit to his sin. If Adam Rishon would have immediately admitted his sin, Moed B'Knas is Potter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite Rachmanus, wanted that Adam Rishon on his own should admit that what he did was wrong. And like that, he'd be in Moed B'Knas. And if he would be in Moed B'Knas, then he would be Potter. But Adam Rishon did not take the hint. Amar Rava, what's the proof that the punishment of Edom Zomim is only to be considered a Knas? Shrei Loyasa Masa, that they didn't actually do anything. They just said false testimony, and yet Narogim and Ret Mishalmim, they would get killed if that was the punishment they wanted to cause. They'd pay money. Aram Nachman Teda, I'll bring you another raya that Edom Zomim is a Knas. Shrei Monim Yad Balim. At the end of the day, nobody lost anything because everything they said was false. And we keep on repeating that Edom Zomim, if what they wanted to happen happened, then the din of Edom Zomim doesn't help, doesn't apply, because only Kasha Zomam, v'loy Kasha Asa, and yet Mishalman, says the Gemara, Mayniyu, v'loy Asa Maisa, what are you saying that they didn't do a Maisa? Because he didn't pay yet. So isn't that the same concept, what Rava just said? What is Rav Nachman adding over Rabbah? Says the Gemara, indeed, he's not adding anything. Ema, don't say Omer Rav Nachman, rather V'chein Omer Rav Nachman. He is concurring with Rav Nachman said. And the way I saw the Ritva explains, Rav Nachman is concurring with Rava. But when Rav Nachman said whatever he's saying, he wasn't aware what Rava said. So he was explaining Rabbi Kiva's opinion. And the way he was explaining Rabbi Kiva's opinion is identical to the way Rava had also explained Rabbi Kiva's opinion.